Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment serial data, and serial sister, you'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald, Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I have a really packed show of juice, inside scoop on the Housewives and so much more when I do my interview in a little bit with YouTube's Up and Adam. But right now, the premiere of Real Housewives of New Jersey happened last night and it started off with a bang. First of all, this girl right here, Jennifer Aiden, who is married to a plastic surgeon and has five children. She's had her fair share of plastic surgery done by her husband. She had liposuction, I think maybe a boob job. I thought she got a nose job from her husband, or maybe this is her second. But she says at the top of the show, I went to visit my brother in Turkey. I found this plastic surgeon through following him on Instagram, and he was going to be in Turkey, and he was going to give me a new nose and a chin, and I've decided to have him do it and not my husband because my husband said I was an awful patient when he did my liposuction or whatever, tummy tuck, I don't know what she had done. Well, here is the nose, you guys, and it was pretty disturbing because she looked really good before, whether that was her original nose or her second nose or this is her third, I don't know. She has posted that it looks better now and the swelling went down. So, but she got it early. I guess she went and was filming. There was only 4 weeks between getting the nose done, flying home from Turkey, and going to Teresa's pool party, which was one of the first days that they filmed. But Boredom by Bravo wrote, this is what happens when you tell a lie. And I have to say, I froze my TV and zoomed in. Like, I was like, what? I mean, look, the point is, even if it sucks, it's 2022, we can fix it. We can fix a nose. Unless you do so many nose jobs or do so much cocaine that you end up with the Michael Jackson nose and there's literally no cartridge left. So you have to be careful how many nose jobs you get. Anyway, let this be a warning. But also, we're like, really? You go to Turkey to get your nose? I mean, you're in New Jersey, which I'm certain has lots of plastic surgeons. You're married to one, or you could go to New York. Like, okay. So anyway, very interesting. So they show up at Teresa's party, and there's a lot going on because a video. So they're filming this in about June, and that's important to the story I'm going to tell you. In June, it was my birthday. Sorry to make it about myself, but it was. And I was with my girlfriends, and I saw this video that a former girlfriend had released into the internet wild of her former fiance, which is Louis. And Louis is now engaged to Teresa, the star of Real Housewives in New Jersey. And he is at this like boot camp in Laguna Beach where he's got all these men around him. And this is also Boredom by Bravo and Bravo Cocktails got this. And he's got these guys behind him, all these white guys behind him, and they're all sunburned and they're supporting him as he does this video to this woman who he has done something wrong to, this former fiance. And I was, you have to see it. You can find it. It's everywhere. But it is really embarrassing. On the other hand, someone's like, hey, he's at this like Christian man up, you know, alpha male boot camp, and he's apologizing to a woman that at the time he thought he was going to marry. Isn't this the kind of guy you do want to marry? One that can admit he's wrong? But the cast and everybody else was like, this is weird. This is a major red flag. And then Joe Gorga is like, yeah, he invited me to do one of these things. And I saw a little bit of it. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to your weird camp. So it all comes out. I talked to, I'm going to say, I called Margaret when it happened. And she's like, oh my God, we're kind of dying. So we're watching that they're all like, we're kind of dying. Do we tell Teresa she's having this pineapple party? Because, you know, I love the pineapple. Pineapple makes your vagina taste better when your boyfriend goes down on you. Everyone drinks pineapple juice. Anyway, she has a pineapple-themed coochie party, whatever, pool party. And they're like, are we going to bring it up? He's dying. He's embarrassed. But he shows up. And so I found my video. You have to watch this video in order to enjoy my video. And I'll post my video on Instagram. It is like, I posted it back in June. And I had my girlfriends, like, I was so like shaking and inspired to parody this that we were in Palm Desert. I had my girlfriends put on sunglasses because we were not hair and makeup ready. And they all stood behind me the same way. And I, you know, did like an apology video to my husband. And during his video, you hear this man off camera yelling at Louis being like, tell her you're a piece of shit. I'm a piece of shit. Tell her you're going to do better. I'm going to do better. So I kind of do the same thing. And just fun memories. So anyway, we're back at the pool party. And Margaret and Jennifer, who had the nose job, have never gotten along because Jennifer was not supportive of the fact that Margaret was sexually harassed by her boss, and she revealed that in her book. She's brought up the fact numerous times that Margaret, who's now married to her second husband, she met her second husband and started having an affair with him when she was still married to her first, which Margaret has always been completely upfront about. Like the first day that she was on the show, she told the story. So she's very judgmental. Which is interesting, you know, judgmental about her perfect life. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm married to the plastic surgeon. I have 5 kids. So they got an awful Twitter fight. They said awful things to each other at the reunion. It's all bubbling up now that they're, you know, back together after a 4-month break of not talking since the reunion because they hated each other at the reunion. And Margaret's like, you know what? You know what? You know what? You think? I'll tell you what the Marge thinks. You think that you're always doing, you know, you're so perfect. You have your perfect life. You're perfect. Like everyone knows what your husband did. What did my husband do? Everyone knows what your husband did. Everyone knows why he had to leave his job. Oh, really? What did he do? He was having an affair with the office manager for 2 years. And everyone's just like, oh my God, cameras are on. And Jennifer just doesn't know what to say. So she goes, well, you're stupid because it wasn't the office manager. It was the pharmaceutical rep. To be continued. I was like, oh my God. We see from the previews that she obviously goes through a very hard time, not just trying to fix her nose, but just real, like now this secret. So she had this secret and we see in the previews. My sisters didn't know, my family didn't know, and my best friends didn't know, my mother didn't know that the secret is her husband had a 2-year-long affair with someone he worked with, and it caused him to leave that practice and start another. And obviously they probably struggled from it, but they've decided to stay together. And it happened years before she got on the show. And just like every dumb, fame-thirsty housewife that has a skeleton in the closet, they think that closet's never going to be opened. Well, it is. So, hey, you know, now it's out there and it's going to make the season very juicy. And it is sad that now her kids know that her husband, you know, cheated on her at one time. They're going to know this forever. But hey, another side might be like, hey, this happened and my parents made it. But no, it's not great. It's not good. But this is what happens when you go on a Real Housewife show, which is what we really get into in my interview with Adam. He did this incredible interview with the mother and father of Mary, who is the cult leader, her weird church at Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. We get into that. We get into all the drama of Beverly Hills. And so we're going to jump right into the juice. And here we go with Adam from Up and Adam. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. We are going to get into it. I have from Up and Adam on YouTube, Adam Newell. You are adorable. First of all, the interview heard around the Bravo world. You did a couple on Salt Lake People. The one I want to get into, which was your second one, which was with Mary, who is the pastor, married to her step-grandfather, her mother, and her stepfather. And you interviewed them. And I just want to hear how you approach them. Let's just start.
How this started was I originally interviewed Mary's cousin, Dan Cosby.
And you were the first person to interview him.
Yes.
Then he went and did another YouTuber's, Sherelle's.
I think he did a few.
But one thing I said about the cousin, because I listened to the cousin one with you, and then when I saw that he did a second one, he shared that he believed that Mary, who was married to her step-grandfather, was actually at one time having a romantic relationship with this guy Cameron, who came on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and kind of said Mary's not a good person, and then he died.
Well, to be fair, people don't know this, and I've never shared this on my channel. When I interviewed Dan,
the cousin,
Dan Cosby, I wasn't expecting it, but he wanted to jump on a phone call before we actually did the whole video. And he's like, this is what I'm comfortable talking about. This is what I'm not comfortable talking about. And he told me about the affair with Cameron before they even started filming season two, because I did that interview in 2020, December of 2020. And then, you know, they started picking up filming in 2021. And then obviously here we are. But he told me about Cameron, and he told me about this affair, and he said that he even brought it to Robert Cosby Sr., and that, you know, he let Robert Cosby Sr. know, allegedly, right, that if you don't stop messing with people, different members of the church, and taking their money through their mortgages and having them refinance, then I'm going to expose what you guys are doing within your relationship, because everything's not perfect at home for you two. And I said to him, I get a lot of people who bring me scandal, and I got, you know, audio clips of Cameron and then photos of Mary and Cameron, and people will send this to me, but I get scared to put it on YouTube. I'm like, I have integrity and this man is not alive. So, you know, God rest his soul. I don't know. I can't put that on my channel. But when it comes out, I'm like, oh, I don't know.
So then when it came out on another person's YouTube channel, weren't you like a little pissed?
No, absolutely not. I think
I'd be a little bit like, damn, I had that a year ago and I kept my mouth shut, because that happens a lot. I get a lot of juicy scoop too. Okay, so you talk to the cousin, and then how do you meet Pastor Mary's mother and stepfather and come to this home?
So I actually contacted the cousin after we did an interview, and he, you know, every once in a while will send me, like I said at the beginning of this, photos or audio clips that I'm not necessarily wanting to share on my channel. Mm-hmm. But I did reach out and I'm like, do you know Mary's parents? And he said, well, Mary's dad unfortunately passed away, but yeah, I know her mom. I can give you her number if you like. And I was like, yeah, 100%. Give me the number. So he gave me the number and I called her. It went straight to voicemail. And I was like, you know what? What am I doing? I'm crazy. Let me leave this poor woman alone. And then it was a week later, or maybe 3 weeks later, or something like that. But we found out that Mary did not show up to the reunion. And I was like, no shit, there's more to the story. So I looked in my text messages and I called the number again, and she answered and she's like, hi. And I said, hi, Rosie, because that's how he said her name in the text. I was like, hi, Rosie, my name's Adam. And she's like, up in Adam. And she knew she watches. And she's like, I watch you. And she's like, how was your dad's birthday? And I was like, what? So it was very interesting to me, but we had the best conversation. She's honestly such a sweetheart. And she said, I will do an interview with you, but you need to talk to my husband first. And I was like, oh, shit, this is another wall that I have to break through.
Yeah.
Okay. So she said, his name's Mark Cazares. Here's his number. And I called him, and he was – I always get uncomfortable. Like, I love talking to women, but with guys, I'm like, I feel like this is going to be weird. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm just, like, socially awkward with them. And – I didn't know how it was going to go, and he was just open. He's like, yes, there were things said about me on a different YouTube channel, and Rosie's brother came out and said that I cheated on her and I have like a love child with some other woman. So as long as I get to mention that and say that's not true, we will do an interview with you. I was like, yeah, I don't fucking care. We can mention that. That's fine. Yeah, we'll put that at the end.
When you meet with them, did she ever take off her sunglasses, Mary's mother?
She did. Mark actually asked her to. And part of me meeting with them was...
On camera or off camera she took them off?
Off camera.
Okay.
She, part of me meeting with them was totally making the experience comfortable for right. Mary's mom.
Yes.
And that was one of the things that people didn't realize, because that's what I was getting to when I mentioned the Fallon interview. It looked like this whole production, a beautiful set. And that's what I wanted to do with this interview too. But she's still very much so afraid of the pandemic. Like she is an older woman. And she doesn't want to just go out there and kind of be around a ton of people. So she was comfortable with me and one other person coming into the house, which was a videographer that I found last minute because two other ones canceled because of COVID. Mm. And I was like, I had two housewives cancel on me, two videographers cancel on me. I was only in town for 3 days, but it was a shit show. I'm like, this pandemic. And, you know, when I sat down with her, everything had to be kind of catered. Mark and I talked about this. Mary's stepdad catered to making her feel as comfortable as possible, which I was completely okay with doing. And
I mean, I've talked about Mary's church. So if you guys are unfamiliar with the show and you're listening, so she has this church that her grandmother started. The grandmother had a younger husband
right.
who was Robert, who on the show is Robert Sr. because after her grandmother died, he went to Mary, the woman Mary, who is on The Real Housewives. And they had one child together named Robert Jr. So she refers to him as Robert Sr. So he was about 20 years younger than her grandmother and about 20 years older than she. And in this interview, what was interesting is that her mother, Rosie, sounds and looks just like her. So people were freaked out by that.
They thought it was Mary in a wig. They kept saying that.
I know. Like, they're like, what? I mean, and... She looks very young there, but I mean, same
fashion,
everything,
yeah.
And the same voice. It was crazy. And she goes on to say that Robert Sr., it was awful, and that he was pursuing her while her mother, Mama, who started the church, was around. And then the Mama said, Never. What did she say? She said, "You better keep your house coat on because he's a freak."
Yeah, she doesn't. This whole interview give you whiplash.
I mean, I was like, and then this the painting of Mama over the thing, and you were so nice because she starts to cry, yeah. Rosie, about her mom who died like 20 something years ago. And you're like,
I'm a Cancer. I get emotional. I can't help
you're
it.
You're like, Rosie. I'm like, oh, God, he is really. Listen, I've interviewed a handful of.
Let me have it.
odd people in my life.
Okay.
No, you did great. Oh, you have to be like that.
Yeah.
You have to be like, you know, because you don't want them to leave and you want them to, you know, and you always want to treat them with respect, as do I. And then sometimes your audience is like, you were too nice to them. You're like, listen, they came to my fucking show. Or like when you ask, I ask for questions and these people are asking questions. I'm like, you really think I'm going to ask them about this thing? I mean, 100% I'm not going to.
Right.
And if I did, they'd be like, F you, Heather, and walk up and leave. So, yeah, you have to be with kid gloves, especially in a situation like this where these people are not media savvy. They aren't even on a reality show. I mean, reality show people aren't media savvy, but at least they've been in front of cameras for like 2 years, you know, like these. So I thought you did a great job, but it was just like, I mean...
Uncomfortable.
It was just amazing, like the house and everything. So what have they... been living off of since Mama passed and all of their property was then put into Robert Sr.'s name, in which then he moved it to the church where there's a church, as you know, paying no taxes. But then that took the property away from any kind of other heirs that it might have been meant for, right?
Right. Well,
and so then it was left for just Robert Sr. and Mary.
I was trying to follow this, too. And if you Google Rosalind's name, you'll see this lawsuit over, you know, the Pentecostal church and everything that came with it back from – it dated back in the 90s.
In which she was suing Robert Sr.?
Right.
Uh-huh. And after the mother's death.
After the mother's death.
Okay.
And I think she won between $1 to $2 million of this.
Okay.
So she – I mean, Rosalind also – everyone was talking about her house and they're like, there's no furniture. She just moved into this house. This was a newer home for her and her husband. She, from what I was told, she does pretty okay for herself. But also, I walked in, I was in the living room, I looked at all of the photos of Mama everywhere. And when I was in the house for 2 hours before I even met her mom, her mom wasn't coming out of the room because she was getting ready. And then finally she walks out of the room and she had her sunglasses on and I could see where she was crying. And she said, "Adam, you don't look real." And I was like, "I'm real. I'm here." And she's like, "You don't look real." She's like, doesn't he not look real? And I'm like, I don't know what that means, but I gave her a big hug. I said, "Can I hug you?" And she said, "Yeah." So I gave her a hug. And then Mark said, "Go on, sweetie, take off your glasses and show him what you look like. Show him how much you, Mama, and Mary look like each other." And she said, "I don't want to do that." And she took them off and I saw, and I was like, I feel like I'm looking at Mary. And it was just kind of, it was.
And so in your opinion, and what was revealed is that she said that Mary really was a victim, that he yes. pursued her and took her actually away from her family, put her in one of the homes and in a different state. And, you know, she was already married to someone else and Dana. He alienated her from him, forcing her to divorce him and then marry Robert to marry Robert. And then Rosie's husband, who was there, and they've been married for like 35 years, he said they were really good and like doing like gospel singing and all that stuff. And that is why originally Robert Sr. wanted to get rid of him and marry Rosie, because Rosie, being that she actually is a singer and everything, together they could be like, who I was just talking about, be like Tammy Faye and Jim Baker, for those of you that remember that. It's an amazing movie on HBO Max. I'm telling you, you guys need to watch it. It's a true story that then they did a movie about. It's amazing. I'll talk a little bit about it later. But anyway, but then, you know, she was already married. So then he went for Mary, which I thought was kind of interesting that Rosie was like, he wanted me. But I mean, like, what is your takeaway after doing all the interviews? What is your honest takeaway of Mary and the situation and the church?
I'm not done. I want Mary now. I want to sit down with Mary because I've talked to your cousin. I've listened to what he said. You were exonerated from the church and kicked out by Mama. Your mom over here, which and your stepdad are saying that you're a victim of your marriage and you weren't kicked out of the church. You didn't have the substance abuse problem. You know, everyone has a different opinion. And I feel like there's three sides to every story. Yours, this, and the truth, right?
What about the side where supposedly she lived in New York
and
got all this plastic surgery, but then they told the parishioners that she had a sweating problem that they had to do surgery for, some weird thing.
Her sweat glands.
Yes. So that took 3 years of living in a penthouse in New York and the parishioners sending money. And then she came back and they all said she like looked pretty amazing. I don't know what she had done because she does look just like the mom. And she's always looks like she's been thin and her mom is thin. So I don't know what kind of enormous plastic surgery.
Well, she had bunions too. So she had to get her bunions cut off, but that's hereditary. Like that comes. I don't know what a bunion is, but.
And I don't know why you couldn't do that in Salt Lake City, why you had to go to New York in 2000 and whatever it was.
I don't know why you have to stay in a $30,000 a month apartment to get your bunions cut off. And I don't even know where bunions are. So I don't know. This is so confusing.
And where do you think all the money came from?
Well, if you listen to, you know, the allegations of her family members, her cousins, people coming forward from the congregation, and even Cameron, who unfortunately passed away, who was on the show. Mama had a radio station. Mary's grandmother had a radio station. She had a mortgage company. She had so many different businesses. And from what they're saying or accusing them of is having this mortgage company. And when the church allegedly gets low on money, apparently, they go to different members of the congregation and they have them take out, you know, or refinance their homes or take out second mortgages in order to give back because they really view Mary
That's
as
pretty
a,
awful.
Right. And they view her allegedly they view her as a god. Now, I couldn't believe that with everything in me. I was like, there's no way. But I went to Mary's church like you did and I ran into a member.
OK, so you went when? About a month ago, because I went last week.
Yes, I went about a month ago.
Okay, and it was already boarded up, or has it not been boarded? Would it not boarded up by then?
Well, the sign was there when you went, right?
The sign was still there, which is like a glass sign, like
That's
when
new.
The services are. But all the it was boarded up, and if you look through the window, all the furniture and everything was wrapped so not to get dusty or gross. So like right. No one has been in there for a long time, in my opinion.
Well, right. And when I went, I was looking in the window and I could see a little bit and the sign was not there. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to take like a little timer selfie because I put in the work. I rode an Uber scooter to get there.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, I'm sitting in front of the church and I'm jumping up and down and like, hey, taking my photos. And this woman walks up and she said, can I help you? And I was like, I'm just a big fan of Salt Lake. And I didn't want to tell them what I was there for. And my interview wasn't until the next day. And she's like, oh, you watch the show? You watch Mary? And I said, oh, we love Mary. Yes, we watch the show. Yes, yes, yes. And she goes, okay, well, you're trespassing right now. You're not really supposed to be here. And I said, oh, no, I didn't know. I just wanted to grab a photo. Big fan. And she's like, yeah, we're so happy that Mary's not, you know, on the show anymore. And I said, oh, well, we're not, but okay. And she's like, yeah, Mary will rise again. Now that she's off the show, she will rise again and be back in the church, and so passionate about it. And I'm like, rise again? So
and she will raise you up on Bravo wings, raise you up and let you sing. That is an actual song that I just created.
I mean,
but it's kind of based on a real Catholic song.
Okay. Bizarre.
Rise up like Jesus.
Rise up, right?
Did she say, you know, if you come for Mary, she'll send Jesus for you?
No, but I have a feeling that Mary, I don't know. Listen, I don't know what's going on. I'm sitting here in this seat. I get to hang out with you today, and everything's been going great with the channel. And, you know, like, work's doing amazing. So I don't think she sent Jesus for me. I think she was happy that her mom came on and said, you're a victim.
She should send Jesus for you. Jesus is not the frickin' mafia.
Well,
Jesus is supposed to be there. Jesus is supposed to carry you in the hardest times of your life.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Jesus is not, like, the fucking devil. Like, what are you talking about? Like, even if you slightly believe in God and Jesus, like, this, that is why it just, I was just like, how can anybody respect this woman and be part of it? I mean, it's 100%. They're Tammy Faye and Jim Baker. They're like, it's completely stealing.
It's
completely turning people to believe that the only way they're going to get to heaven is if they, like, sign over their house to you.
You know, I think it's so hard, too, to believe what Mary – or what people say about the church, right? But then people – now that she was on reality TV and off of it, I guess, people leaked the audio clips of her yelling and chastising the congregation and being like, you're cheap and you know what? You can get out of here, and kicking people out of a car, and just the way she talks to them.
She's
saying,
an awful person.
Listen,
I know you want the interview. It's not going to happen.
What do you mean?
She's,
I'm optimistic. I will visit her closet to get the interview.
If you're to visit her in prison is where you're going to visit her.
Oh my gosh, no.
Come on.
No.
I mean, I don't know what Salt Lake is doing. They're probably really busy with a lot of stuff. There's a lot of awful people in the world. So but they really need to go deep on this one. And they need to figure out
the next housewife documentary.
And if they, what has been going on and where has this money gone? Because the whole thing is the church is tax deductible. That has to change. But that anybody could just, you know, if I created the Church of Juicy Scoop, now I don't pay taxes. You think that's fair? I give advice. I talk about Jesus all the time. You think I'm a hoot?
You just said he's not mafia. You're vouching for him. So to be fair, you know,
but I mean, that's the thing. Like, so you can't. The amount of money, I mean, look at her clothes and her shoes and how much she must have been spending every month. And what are these – and the businesses that, like, the cousin talked about, a daycare, that's not a big business, okay? A mortgage company, besides taking the money for yourself, that's just nothing. That's not a solid thing. It's not like they owned 7 Chick-fil-A's. You know, then right. I'd be like, that's some real money. That's like a solid thing like this. And doing barbecues on Sunday.
I mean,
and then that when the cousin was like, oh, my mom used to, they'd fly her to come and do the barbecue. I'm like, you're flying someone like nobody else can slap on the barbecue sauce in Salt Lake City. You're flying someone special to do that. Like, it was just, I cannot get enough of it. And so then when I've been like, why is it when Lisa Barlow and everybody's like, I don't understand why Meredith has this loyalty. Does she have something on her? But, you know, it could be what we talked about a little bit, just that, like, Mary didn't have anybody else. And so Meredith might have felt, I mean, to be nice to her, you know, might be nice to her, you know?
I think that like they both didn't have anyone in this past season.
At this point, they felt yes, like that. Alienated.
Right.
And, but like this last scene when Heather is like, you are awful. Like, you're being awful to Jenny. Why don't you want to be friends with her? And this
your step-granddaddy.
Yeah, and then she's like, oh, because you don't have a husband. And Heather's like, when have I tried to act like I have a husband? Also, like, kind of a sore spot because Heather had a lot of guilt being Mormon and everything for her daughters that her marriage didn't work out. So this is like a real mean thing to say. And that's finally Whitney Rose speaks up and she's like, all right, how are you supposed to be, because essentially all religions are be do unto others as you'd have them do unto you.
Right.
From the Muslim, Catholic, Jewish, be a fucking nice person.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
She is the meanest. The meanest, most cruel, and I've heard that she writes them horrible texts where she says awful things about their appearance and just super cruel, and they're like fucking terrified of her. But in the end, she's not someone that probably ever had a lot of girlfriends or anything in this church because she was always so above everybody. So in Weird Mary's defense, I don't think she knew how to like have interpersonal friendships.
Like a girl's girl.
Yeah, she was so not a girl's girl. She was so not a good time. When was she ever chuckling with them?
Right.
She'd say some weird things on camera that would make us laugh at home because we're like, that was freaking weird. But like, did she ever have like a Luther, like, you know, the other housewives sometimes would just die laughing or they do something funny or in every franchise. Like, they had no, like, she had not 1 ounce of a sense of a humor at all.
No, she really is kind of her own quirky character on the show. She's definitely not a girl's girl from what you can see, but you know, on the show, even Mark and Mary's mom said at one point when they were questioning Robert Cosby and like talking about the church that people were showing up to his work and threatening him, like, you better leave the first lady and the bishop alone. And people were showing up like saying, want some, get some. And I
wait,
think
who was saying that to who?
Mark Cazares, her stepfather.
Oh,
said that when everything happened with like fighting Robert Cosby in court.
Oh, in court. Right, oh,
that
okay.
He was talking bad about Robert Cosby.
Yes,
and allegedly he was coming out of his place of work one day
and was threatened by the parishioners.
Yeah, like 3 or 4 people waiting outside, and they're like, "What's up? You talking bad about the bishop?" And he was like, "There's like 4 of you." But I think that's what they're talking about on the show because they say in their minds they feel Mary could be scary or you don't want to mess with her because you don't know what's going to happen. If there's a whole congregation of people who might actually think that you are some sort of god or sent down and this is who, like, Mary will rise again, then yeah, people are willing to probably do some pretty scary shit on your behalf. Like, it would scare me. That's why I got out of there. I got on my little Uber scooter. I got my photos.
That's why
I was
when
gone.
I did my video, which went on TikTok, it freaked me. We were scared. And I mentioned that it wasn't a great area, which I got a lot of criticism for. It was a fine area. Okay. Neighborhood. It was fine. I was saying it because I was being like how Mary is like, you eat at Taco Bell. Like, she's so snobby.
Right.
And I'm like, here, her church, which was built nice. It is a nice property, but she puts it in a neighborhood that definitely doesn't match the church, and then shows up, which the cousin said she barely really did show up. Like, it would be rare. It would almost be like the Pope coming to visit.
Right.
Because she wasn't there every Sunday. And then when she would, you know, complaining that they didn't give her enough money for her birthday. And then we see her on the show with everything. And then she also gives these gifts to, you know, the housewives and stuff to try to win them over. Like, because it's not her money. Like, I think it's very easy to be generous and to have money and everything when you didn't really work that hard for it. Like, when you really work hard for money, hopefully
right.
You're generous, but it's
give me
to
your,
give someone else's money away.
I was about to say,
you.
Give me your wallet full of cash right now. I have no problem giving it to everybody out here in the hall. That's fine with me.
Yeah, exactly.
You
and
also got really in there, by the way. I don't know if you were invested in this and you were like, I don't know if it was for the TikTok or for what the video or what it was, but you're like, guys, look at this creepy shed in the back right here. And I feel like,
well,
like you were like jumping
were,
the fence
well,
or something.
I was with my boys. And right when we got there, they go, oh my God, Mom, there's fresh footsteps in the snow. And I was like, oh my God, were there other Juicy Scoopers here before me? Like, who else is walking around this church? Because it was completely dead. Like, no one was there. Doors are shut. It's not like one person's, like, showing up every day to make sure or whatever. I mean, it's done.
Right.
It's not reopening. No way.
Well, have you heard why, though? Because from what I gathered from talking to different members of the family, there was some sort of natural disaster or something that happened that unleveled the church. So
okay.
It's not necessarily safe to be in.
Oh, okay.
So what they were saying is that they were trying to find another location to bring the church. But then that didn't make sense to me because I was there only 2-3 weeks before you and there was no sign. Now there's a brand new sign. So,
and what is a brand new sign?
But that was
the one in the glass.
Yeah, the one in the glass. That wasn't there when I was there.
Oh.
So then if you were getting a new church, why would you install that sign? So it makes me think maybe that's not the truth. That's the shit that I'm talking about. It's like everyone has their own version of what's going on. That's like, can somebody talk to Mary?
Why do you think she agreed to do it in the first place? Because they got her for a few interviews and like most people loved the attention of producers and being on TV. Do you think she and Robert Sr. ever sat down and thought, I mean, I would guess that actually they weren't that familiar with the show and they agreed to do it just like Tom Girardi said, let's do it, Erica.
Right.
Like, you know, Joe and Teresa, let's do the show. Like, who, like, that's what I think always makes, Jen Shaw, let's do a show. What? You're doing shady stuff. Like, what are you thinking?
I have to quote Tamara on this from OC because yes. She said it takes a special kind of stupid to go on a reality show. But then she's like, it takes a real special kind of idiot to go on a reality show when you have some crazy shit going on behind the scenes in your life. And for Mary, I never understood either. But her parents think it was because she's trying to shine a light on this, what they're calling toxic relationship with her husband. And maybe if enough people see and she can put it in front of the world, would help her get out.
Which is a common thing that housewives do. They push to go on a show like this because they are not in love with their husband. And they're like, either one, I want the world to see what a dick he is. So when I do leave, I'll have a following and a life. Or B, I want him to see how mean he is to me, feel bad about it, treat me nicer so that we can stay married.
Right.
And I mean, I kind of think that was Shannon Bedore's reason for going on the show, and kind of both happened. And I think he did kind of feel bad and then he came back and whatever. And then eventually they left and now she's got this whole career.
Right.
And that she would never have had. She never worked before it, you know, and so good for her, you know. But I think, yeah, I think people go because you're like, oh, why are there so many divorces? Yeah, you're right. Maybe that was the case. Maybe she was like, let me get my own thing going. But I'm just like, do you really think that you can like start another church in this day and age and find people that would all of a sudden just give you thousands and thousands of dollars? Like, it just like, I understand if you're already in a church, but to me, I just don't know how people are going to get new people with maybe I've just seen way too many religious documentaries in the last 3 years.
I think a good comparison here would be like for Mary, she has so many, like the woman out front who was saying Mary will rise again. I feel like she has so many.
What was that woman like? Can you physically describe her? Like age,
she was
ethnicity?
She was in her 40s. She was really pretty. She was a beautiful black woman with short hair and she had a beanie on. I don't know, but she was great until she was saying you're trespassing. And I was super nice, like, oh no, that's not what I was trying to do. And then she's like, I'll take the photo for you. I even asked her, I didn't say this, but I asked her, will you take a photo with me? And she said no. And then she started getting in the subject of Mary rising again. But, you know, to your point that you said, how do you think you can just restart this church? I think that the people who say stuff like that, like she'll rise again, are such loyal followers. Like if you decided today Juicy Scoop is done, you're like, you know what? I'm done with Juicy Scoop. I'm going to have, you know, some other show. I'm going to name it something else and I'm going to restart all over. You'll still have so many of your loyal followers
that's true. But I think like a religion, but you know what? You're right now. You're changing my mind a lot because in the Tammy Faye movie, which is a real thing, she did come back from it. Her husband went to prison for stealing, using church money for him to pay off a girl that he had sex with, Jessica Hahn. And then they realized all this other money that they collected that they said was for missionaries and things like that. Because they would constantly be like, your money is going towards a home for special needs kids, a missionary in another country, and this and that. And then they realized none of it was going to that. It was all going to them. But what I was saying, Mary never even talked about, like, hey, my parishioners and I, you know, whatever, do this thing, like, in Africa. Like, there was nothing. It was all just, what are you providing
for everybody's for these, money?
For everyone to give you their money, except for you to live this lavish lifestyle and them to go to church once a week. Like, there has to be more to it. Like,
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, but you're not talking about, not once are you using this platform to mention a charity.
Nothing.
Giving back,
I mean, every
form.
Housewife has a charity. She didn't have a charity. Her charity was, come to my church and I will go shopping.
I went to Baptist church like 3 times when I was a teenager, and we even used to have like catfish fries where we would raise money and give it back to, like,
oh my God, we
did know.
Operation Rice Bowl. I mean, Catholic is, you know, Catholic charities, and then if you're a wealthier parish, then you have a like a sister parish that they're always like, remember, you know, this parish in this part of LA needs our help because their school needs, you know, so then you'd give to your own church and then try to help this church that, you know, is struggling in the archdiocese. Like, that's, you know, and then if you could go every day and never give a penny, and no one's going to tap you on the shoulder and be like, hey, bitch, saw you here every day. They don't do that.
Yeah.
So it's like, to me, I'm like, I just am just fascinated. When I was watching the Tammy Faye thing last night with Peter on HBO Max, I was like, I remember I'd watch a lot of TV as a kid. And I was starting to watch this woman, and she had all this makeup and stuff. And I go, I just remember she would, I just remember like watching her cook and her talk about like fudge. And I was like, oh, I think she seems like a nice lady. I'd like to, like, why does my mom make fudge? And then in the next scene, she's like, Jim, next week I'm going to do my fudge recipe. And I was like, oh my God. Like, when people say, sometimes my husband's like, you can't remember everything you remember. I'm like, I have a fucking crazy memory. I'm like, I remember watching the fudge fucking episode. Anyway, so then they have all this money, but he, you know, is taking it all for himself. And then every time they would get in trouble, they'd realize, like, she could go, you know, if they just kind of cried and said, like, they didn't call it mainstream media, but they called it secular. The secular media, meaning non-religious media, is after us. So it was like a very kind of similar, not similar, but it was just interesting. Like, Ronald Reagan was president, and then, like, they're like the secular, you know, are against us wanting to, you know, make sure there's enough Christians in the world, whatever. So it was interesting. And then, but yeah, so he ends up going to prison. He gets out, and then he did start a whole nother church. And then she got a talk show with an out gay personality, because even though they were so against gays, she was like, had this guy that had AIDS on. And she started to cry, and the Jerry Falwell was freaking out, but all the phones started to, and they started to give her more money. It's like she had like some, she had like an amazing, she did have a good heart, but she liked her diamonds and she liked her stuff, and she was not actively in the deception.
Right.
But just like an Erica Jane, he gave her the money and she bought the fur coats. But she was also, like, very into, like, singing Christian songs and making people happy and making me happy at home, telling me about her fudge.
I feel
like... But she was stealing money from people that gave it and were vulnerable, just like Jen Shah.
I don't know if they're brainwashing themselves or this is a commitment to a role where I'm going to play Mary Poppins and be, like, so sweet, but really I'm like, give me all your money. Like, kind of
the
like,
difference is Tammy Faye did play sweet.
Right.
Mary is
No,
mean.
She does not play sweet. She does not care. She's like, I don't have time for
that's
you guys.
That's what I don't get, because like every pastor, priest, whatever, not necessarily priest, because priest could be kind of mean, but like I feel like the Joel Osteens and those kind of people, whether you believe it or not, or if you think they're taking too much money for themselves, even if you never want to give them a cent, if you listen, it's kind of nice.
Right.
And it's kind of inspiring, and it is from the Bible. So, like, take what you want. If you want to give money, fine, but you still have access to all this material, just like the TV show, if you never give. So I was like, why isn't Mary, you know, being more like that? Where, like, that's where I was like, that's just not how a Christian preacher speaks. Like, if someone was hurting and she was truly someone who studied, because that was the other thing the cousin said, she never went to, like, Bible or pastor school or whatever. If her whole thing was for the last 20 years running a church, it would be natural for her in a situation where someone is like, Jen Shaw's crying, and she would be like, okay, let's pray on this.
Right.
Or can we pray before we eat? She never asked to pray before you eat. How many times have you been with a Christian person that's like,
I didn't
give
even
me your hand,
that.
We're at Denny's, or looked over and seen people like praying at Denny's. Like, she never was like, listen, you know, let's take a special moment to, you know, listen, no matter what happens, Jen, you know, you believe in God, because Muslims believe in God too, whether it's Allah or whatever. He's going to be with you. He's going to step with you. And like, there was never one like moment. What? Like, if I was in that cast, I would be saying things like that to Jen, because I'm like, just like the rest of them, whether you think she's guilty or not, if you're filming with someone, you're going to have some compassion. You're going to be like, nice. And then you're just going to be like, Jen, just like keep your heart, and whatever happens, you know, just know that you did your best and that you're a great mother, and that's never going to change. Like, that's the kind of thing I would say.
I even had to ask my fiance, who grew up Mormon, about this, because watching, I didn't grow up in a super religious household, but when I see her walking into the church and she's like, hey, Earl, she's like, Earl, you're getting so fat. She's like, stop eating so much, Earl. And she's like, all right, let's, you know, we're getting the choir together. And she's like, oh, and she's like, you change your clothes. That doesn't look right. And then she's like, this woman, she works for me. She's been here for like 10 years. She's one of my cousins or something, but I don't know. I don't really know her name. I don't know anything about her. I'm like, this is not nice. It's not very nice. It doesn't sound like a very preacher kind of way of... Right. So I get exactly what you're saying. I didn't understand. And I asked Jason, I said, is that how it's like in the Mormon church? He's like, no, that is
not
how it's
like. No, Mormons are like super, really caring, really sweet.
Right.
Really, like, that's why people love to be around like Mormon people. Like, they're honestly like so nice.
I had to ask Jason, because we went to, I think it was the temple, and it's where they have the... Is it Tabernacle?
Yeah, the Tabernacle Choir.
Tabernacle Choir.
Yeah.
And there were groups of, like, different, you know, Mormon people who come from all over. And they were in groups of two. And you walk in and they're like, hi, have you been here before? Can we help you? Let us tell you a little bit of the history of this one piece of art out of these 5,000 pieces of art. And, you know, I'm like, no, it's okay. We're just looking around. And I looked at Jason. I'm like, why do they keep coming up? Like, they're so nice, but it's like kind of, it's odd. He's like, because people are fucking nice in the Mormon church, Adam. They're not all from Florida or Tennessee and like being an asshole, because that's how like life works. Like, people are nice. And I'm like, I'm not used to it. It's so strange to me. So maybe I would fit in better at Mary's church, where people are not... I don't know.
That's exactly true. Like, yeah, and I always said that. I go, you know, that's why so many Mormon business people are super successful at business, because they had to do the 2-year mission where they were rejected all the time. I mean, you do 2 years of rejection, trying to get people to go to church. Guess what? You know what? You're going to be a successful realtor. You're going to be a successful business person. Like, they kind of have to go through this thing. Do you watch Sister Wives?
I've seen a little bits and pieces of it, but it's the polyamorous.
I'll cover it more next week, but it's like the right now that's all falling apart. Like, the girls are leaving. I mean, it's just,
they're not lasting.
No, it's sort of religious too, the way he is religious, but they kind of have their own thing.
Well, one thing that fascinated me about, especially going to, you know, the Mormon temple and the Tabernacle Choir, I was asking, like, how is this all built and who runs this? And they're like, you know, some of the greatest surgeons in the world are heads of these churches. And I'm like, how? They must get paid a lot. And Jason was like, no, they don't get paid. The Mormon church doesn't pay them. And they all pay like 10% tithing. And so I was like, 10% of just everything or every time you come? He's like, no, like, if somebody gives you a birthday card for $300, then you're giving 30 back of that $300 to the Mormon church. Or if you win, if you know, you like win something and you win $100, you give 10% back.
And I never knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never knew that. And I was on a date with a guy before I was married. No, what if I was like, I was on a date with a guy last week. And I was really looking for a husband. I was in a dating service called Great Expectations, which was so weird. But anyway, I just thought, you know, I'm looking for a husband. So I was open to, like, all religions, whatever. So I went out with this cute guy in L.A. who was Mormon. And I thought Mormon was just, like, Protestant, you know, like, just kind of Christian, whatever. And he said how he gives 10% to the church. And I remember being like, fuck that.
Well, I told Jason.
God, I was married, so he's giving 10% of our money to a church.
I said to Jason, I was
that is
like,
too much.
He said he was used to it. He said, I'm no longer a part of the church. My family is. And I was like, great. Well, since you're not part of the church and you're so used to and accustomed to giving up 10% of the shit that you make, well, welcome back, because now I'm taking 10% of your shit for the rest of your life. And now it's worked for the last 8 years. He
or
gets
50%,
a buck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I might be a little bit more greedy than the Mormon church. Like, I'm not saying they're greedy, but like for Jason, like when he brings shit in, I'm like, you're used to giving 10% away anyways, so just like come to Papa, give me the money. Give me the money.
So let's talk about each housewife, and then we'll let you leave. So are you a Lisa Barlow fan? I mean, what did you think of that big moment of her giving the rant where she says Meredith has fucked half of New York, and you know the rumor of the guy who they all screwed?
Yeah, well, her the
that,
rumor
the
that
guy from Real Housewives of New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Are you talking about Harry Dubin?
No, it's not Harry Dubin.
Ugh, I was about to say, we can't have any more
this
Harry
Dubin.
This is a
rumor, but it's this other guy that, if I showed you a photo, you might remember, but he was Ramona's friend. This is the rumor. And he's like, was in an episode or two.
Not the crazy looking guy that was trying to do business with Ramona and Sonia, right?
Not the one that did that wanted the bar thing. Not the one,
okay,
tipsy
okay.
girl. No.
Okay.
It's a different one, more recent in the show. Anyway, and that's the rumor, but that Jen and Meredith both had sex with him.
Right.
And Meredith is not denying that anymore. She's like, yeah, my husband and I were separated. I saw someone. And then she goes, but I don't know if Jen saw anyone, because Jen, as my understanding, she was on Watch Mom's Life. She's like, as my understanding, Jen is, you know, in a committed relationship.
Monogamous.
Yes. But Seth and I, you know, made it no secret that we were dating other people. And, you know, but I mean, Lisa Barlow saying that I've, you know, slept with half of New York and had 10 boyfriends. I haven't even slept with 10 men in my life. So I don't know where she's getting that from. So I don't really understand. I still don't understand what their fight was about.
This is going to be so
hard. It's all because of the show.
It's all because of the show, right?
Like, it's jealousy. It's the way the show, you know, like,
emotions are heightened with cameras in your
yes.
face.
And then you hear someone say this. Even if you heard someone say it and you weren't on camera, you'd probably end your friendship forever. But are they going to end their friendship? No, because they all have to be on the show together so
right.
that they can keep this train rolling.
Right.
But, like, if you... Now you know that your friend Lisa Barlow thinks you're a poser, thinks your family's not great, thinks your husband's not successful. And she can try to say, no, I was, you know, heated, and no, I didn't know I was being recorded. But now there's stuff that came out today where fans and Meredith is agreeing, like, you knew you were being recorded.
Right.
So knew you were being recorded when you chose to say those things out loud. So you did want them out there. You did want people to hear you say this. Maybe you regret it, but you knew you were being recorded, and you know how production works. So
And you know, Meredith said on Watch What Happens Live too that once this was called out at the reunion, that Lisa Barlow ended up telling Meredith, allegedly, if I even have to say that, I'm so used to talking to lawyers at this point, but talking with her, and I guess Lisa said, you know, I heard a rumor that you said something nasty about my home, so I was pissed, and that's why I came out and said the shit that I said. This one really threw me off, because when I met up with Meredith in Salt Lake, of course, like, you can't help but pick and prod, like, what's coming up, you know, like, can you give me any details? No?
Yeah.
And she's like, stay tuned. And I was like, oh, fuck. Okay. So I'm going to stay tuned. And she asked, have you met up with any of the other women while you've been in town? And I said, well, I was supposed to meet up with Lisa, but I think her son or someone, you know, unfortunately got ill, and she ended up sending her assistant to my hotel with bottles of Vita tequila.
She sent Vita tequila to my place.
See? Oh, okay.
That was very nice. I was like, God, I'm all the way, you know, in Park City, up at Deer Valley. I'm like, oh, you don't have to. Like, she offered, and I said, oh, you don't have to. I can, but, you know, these are the restaurants I'm going to. Are they serving it there? I'd be happy to, like, order a drink, take a photo, like, whatever is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, tell me where you are. And they brought a bottle. So then we went to the Ice Castle place and drank it at the Ice Castle place.
It's so good, by the way.
I thought it was great.
I love her tequila.
So, I mean, I thought she's very nice. Oh, but she did contact me when the whole Jen Shah stuff opened up. You know, that she was arrested in real life, not on the show.
Right.
Someone sent me something in which they shared, they both had used a similar the same lawyer. And I mentioned it on a show or something. And then Lisa Barlow wrote me and was like, no, this is, and kind of explained it. I think Lisa Barlow is completely not associated with Jen Shah's business or anything. But I think that's maybe why she was like calling all the lawyers. And she was like, do I have anything to be worried about? Because if they shared in a lawyer, it's just like if you shared an accountant with me and I just got caught by the IRS, you might be like, wait a minute.
Right.
Am I doing anything? Like, are you doing anything wrong with me? Like, what's going on? And I think that's why she was contacting all her lawyers and freaking out, because I think they used similar people in their life.
Didn't that happen with Erica and Lisa Rinna, too? Didn't they have, like, a similar business manager
or
something?
Yes, yes. And so people were trying to draw an associate. Or, yes, and or did Erica give money to Lisa Rinna's daughter's business or something? They were trying to figure all that out. And so, yeah, I mean, you're in the same town, and people recommend people. That might happen, but like that's why I think she was.
I didn't even think about that, but yeah. That's a good point, you know, because she did. She called like all 18 of her attorneys and she was like, hold on, you know, and she's like, I'm going to dial the next one. And nobody really understood what she was doing, but that is a good.
I think she was freaking out, and I really think she had no. I don't think any of them had a clue, but maybe Meredith did.
See,
I think Meredith did, because if you hired an investigator, that investigator, if he was worth anything, I believe probably was like, Meredith, she's under investigation. Some shit's going to go down. I don't know when or what, but like, don't worry. This girl's going to get hers. That's what I think. That's my opinion. I don't think she necessarily knew that she was going to be arrested at the beauty lab, but I think she knew this was happening.
Shit was coming down.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I felt similar about it, you know, but I was even questioning, how are you guys trying to put this on Meredith? Like, Meredith was the one who called the feds, and all of a sudden the FBI, Homeland Security, SWAT, NYPD, like a shitstorm is raining down on your life, but this was Meredith? And then I reached out to Emily D. Baker, because anytime I have a legal question, I always go to Emily.
Yeah.
And I asked Emily, I was like, could this be possible? And she's like, Adam, there's no fucking way. She's like, because these are documents that are sealed, and they don't unseal them until the morning of, when they decide to do the arrest, because they don't want press or anyone to get out with it first, because that would give those people time to run. So they unseal them, and at the same moment that they're unsealing the documents the day of, that's when they like come in and rain down terror on your life and try to arrest you.
Weren't some people that were associated with her weird business already like arrested and under suspicion? So
yeah.
she probably should have been nervous if she wasn't already. But just that information alone, an investigator could have gotten and said, hey, Meredith, there's people that have worked in this thing that have already, you know, that are below her that are already arrested. So, like, something's going to happen there.
Right.
Maybe not full-blown FBI arrest, but, like, I think she probably knew something was going down. Maybe not that day, but.
And she went to, I mean, it was public knowledge too. Jen actually had to go to court for this years before, where they were, and this is, I'm going based off of my conversation with Emily, so kind of bear with me on this one, but
yeah.
Where they were telling Jen, you know, allegedly, like, this is okay, this is how you're running your business, and there are certain things that we don't, that this isn't okay, this isn't good with us, you have to change the way that you're doing business. And from what I gathered from this conversation, they're accusing her of taking that information and just allegedly re-manipulating the way that she did business in order to kind of continue on and make the money that she was making. But who knows? You know, I get so much shit on my YouTube channel because I always say, Jen Shah, we're still in the United States of America. Whether or not you think she's going to prison or she's not going to prison, I'm weird. Like I said, I'm a cancer and I get emotional for people and their families.
People get off. I mean, if
innocent until proven guilty, what happened to
my
that?
My sister's a criminal defense attorney. I mean, if it's not,
my sister's a criminal. So we're here. Like it's
right, but like if you don't have every single thing, if somebody screws up in the investigation, or just like a cop screws up with evidence at a murder, you might get away with it.
Right.
You know. So it's like, yeah. So if they don't have enough to know 100%, she was, you know, doing evil stuff. But
it just,
I mean, again,
me
I look at those closets and I know how much this stuff costs. And then buying the snowflake necklaces for everybody, which was probably like at least $3,000 each. And again, you know, you're getting your money from old people that thought they were going to have an internet business. And Mary's getting hers from another person that thinks that she's going to rise from the dead and bring Jesus with her.
No.
To go to a lunch at a fancy restaurant and get, what was it? What was the gift that she gave everybody?
Was it the AirPods?
Louis Vuitton AirPods
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, it was the Louis Vuitton AirPods. And then the second time
Jesus
it was an
gonna
apron.
Jesus is going to come with Louis Vuitton AirPods.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, what scares me for Jen in this situation is the fact that Stuart Smith, who we saw as her right hand on the show,
yeah.
changed his plea deal, I guess I just made my own word, yeah. but changed that and accepted responsibility and said, you know what, I'm acknowledging that I knew what I was doing was wrong. And then her defense attorneys came forward and they're like, this is BS. Like, you guys are hitting us with over a million pages of documents that you're claiming to be evidence. We don't have enough time to go through all of this and kind of build our defense in a proper way. But when you say a million pages of documented evidence, like, that is scary as shit.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Like, that's terrifying. So
I mean, the only way I think that she could get off is if there was a way that they could say, oh, you know, She's Ronald Reagan in the Iran-Contra scandal and had no clue. And Stuart, the assistant that was feeding her a banana, or she was feeding him a banana or whatever, was actually the mastermind doing everything, and unbeknownst to her, which I don't believe that they can do. That's going to be a very – but that's the only way. That would be the only way. Just like Erica not knowing what Tom did. You know, that's the only way is to just be like, yeah, I had no clue.
Right.
And therefore I'm innocent, you know.
That's scary.
But in the meantime, yeah, she might as well stay on the show and wear a bunch of clothes and have fun.
She's a $2 million retainer. You got to pay for it somehow.
And what did you think of the Jenny thing? Do you have any inside scoop on Jenny's horrible post? Because I, you know, going now we know. I mean, I'm still confused in the timeline. So this was on her Facebook page. The page was never taken down, but she didn't really participate in it. And then she said, I had a social media person even before I was on the show. For what? To set up cracking videos for her chiropractic husband? Like, and then that person's like, oh, along with this, we're going to put these very controversial memes that are like strongly political on your page. I mean, and then that person, social media person, just said, oh, I was hacked. So she really did have a social media person.
But
and now the social media person is saying, I was hacked. The account was hacked. I'm like,
I want to know who's on the payroll here. Because I don't know if I'm buying the Chelsea's Adventures, which is her Instagram profile, now is completely private. She deleted the post that said.
Why did she call it Chelsea's Adventures?
That was her. That's her Instagram name is Chelsea's Adventures.
Even though her name's Jen?
No, the social media manager.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she came out and she made this like statement. She's like, you know, Jenny wouldn't do this. And the thing that got everyone here was the deflection at the end of all of their different statements. But you know, she wouldn't do this. She's not capable. We got hacked. But the real question is, why did this come out after filming an entire season, doing the reunion? Who gives a shit why it came out or when it came out? The point is, you put it on your social media.
Right.
So it doesn't matter when it came out or when it was found. And the other thing is, you're saying you got hacked. Okay, we'll run with that. You have a social media manager. That seems to be the theme on The Housewives now. If you fuck up, you have a social media manager and it was their fault. I'm going to blame everything on Jason one day. I feel it.
Yeah.
And I would never have shit like this resurface, by the way. But with her, they're all blaming like these social media managers and stuff. And I'm not quite following because these posts were over the time span of 6 months. So were you hacked at one point and then you had – because in between the post, you also see like, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope everybody's having a beautiful day. And then it's like – some really vile shit. And then it's like, hey guys, just took the kids to the park. And then it's some vile shit. So are you just getting hacked and then unhacked and then hacked again? Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, my opinion is she probably felt this way at that time.
Right.
And her worldview of where she was raised, Long Beach, her age, being Vietnamese, you know, living through the LA riots. I think, she, you know, when this was happening, I think she came across it, and she decided to post it.
Right.
She may have felt differently afterwards.
Right.
She really might have. People do change their minds, right. And they do go, but she didn't bother to take it down. And I mean, I have liked something and been like, holy shit, let me unlike that right now by accident. I mean, I've had, like, I follow a variety of people of all different walks of life because I'm curious. I don't like their stuff. But I'm like, people have written, do you know that Heather follows, you know, whatever, Meghan McCain? Okay. Like, are you going to come get me? You're going to burn me to the cross because I follow Meghan McCain or Ivanka Trump because I've been following her for 5 years. I have to unfollow her because someone's going to go do a deep dive and think that I'm a Trumpette. Like, it's just...
I got that's shit where... for following Jenny. I forgot to unfollow her. It's funny that you're saying that.
I think cause... I am still following Jenny.
Oh, see? Like, you're going to get shit after this now. You better unfollow
but why,
her.
Why, though? Because I'm curious to see what she'll do next. Why can't I follow someone? Because I'm curious.
Because I think what people well, think up, is you're supporting her.
Well, then fuck off. Like, that's the thing. Like, no.
As long as you can just stand in your truth and yeah. say that, just fuck off, then that's, you know, okay. At least you have an answer for it. But for me, people were commenting on my channel and they're like, Adam, why do you still follow Jenny? You're supporting her. And I was like, I'm not supporting shit. I didn't even know that I follow her. But to be fair, every time I look at my social media, I'm the worst, like, millennial ever. I don't know how to follow, do shit, like, change things. Like, Jason has to help me with everything on social media. And then he always gets upset with me. He's like, who the fuck is this random, like, big booty model that you're following? And I'm like, I don't know who the fuck that is. Maybe it was by accident. I don't know. I'm not good with social media. So I don't – if I'm following somebody that maybe I shouldn't be –
the point is, it's just like, you know what, like – that does not matter who you're following and all that. But what you're posting does. That's my opinion.
Right.
Because I do think you could accidentally like something. And I think you can follow a variety of people and totally hate follow them. How many people hate someone that they follow? Well, you could kind of do that too, even if you don't believe. But you kind of are like, I want to know what this freak is saying because I'm just curious. Like, I mean, I don't think we should get to a point that, like, we have to have, like, you know, a whole nother where we can't just follow who we want to follow. That's like a public person.
Right.
Because someone's going to try to label us as something that's, you know, not politically in right now. Like that's not. But what she did, it was bad.
So.
And I don't know how she could have fixed it.
You're pretty much just telling the whole world, like, piss off. You're not going to dictate to me who I'm following on social media, which is good. I mean, people need to – I think that's a great stance.
And then
you know?
There's people that I just – you know, that I don't like anymore. And then I just mute because I'm afraid someone's going to be like, why aren't you following that person?
Right.
And it's like maybe because they're like too successful and it's bumming me out. So let me just take a break from them. I still wish them well, but I don't want to see it every day. I don't want to see that they're – so it's like – so if you want to go spend 12 hours investigating who I like, I really don't care. I'm not – there's nothing you can do to me at this point. Like, what am I gonna, I'm not the host of the Today Show. So, okay. But like, once you're in a public situation and you're depending on a paycheck, then you better be careful about everything.
That you post.
Everything that you post.
Right.
But I don't think it's fair to criticize people for who they follow. Because a lot of people follow people straight out of curiosity.
I mean.
And it does not mean they share the same worldview of every single person they're following. But her posts. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think she could have saved herself. I think it was a weird mix anyway. I think getting rid of Mary was a bummer for us just because we were ready to see her and, you know, have another Tammy Faye, Jim Baker, you know, situation happen.
Yes.
But I think it was smart for her to leave to save herself. And she really didn't fit in with the other women.
Right.
Jenny was kind of funny and she did kind of fit in. But being that she'd only done one season – And she had the fake sister wives storyline. And she said she threw something at her husband and broke his ribs. Oh. I definitely think the correct move was to fire her 100%.
Right.
And we don't owe her anything. She wasn't, it's not like she was on the show for 5 years, you know. It's not like she was the first season of, you know, a super successful. No, she rolled in season three, had a couple cute moments, but we didn't, no one was like dying for Jenny.
I think we just all really loved her daughter. Like her daughter was super cute on the show and like her family dynamic, but.
But then the family wasn't cute because then she made the husband do the fake sister wives line story.
Yeah,
which made no sense, which she's like, well, he wants me to have another baby. I'm 43. I think she even said she had her tubes tied or something. And he's like, can you get pregnant again? I'm like, this is the dumbest storyline. And your kid is 9. If your kid was 2 and you were 36 and you already had 3 kids and your husband was like, I really want to have one more. That is a believable storyline.
Right.
That's believable. It's like when Melissa and Joe were saying they were thinking of having another kid. No, you weren't.
Right. Right.
No, you weren't, because your youngest kid was already like 8. You don't all of a sudden go, I'm 40 and Magnus is 8. No, you do it when there's like, oh shit, the kid's turning is about 4. Do we go for one more or what? You don't. That's like me being like, you know what?
I just like, put one in college. Let's have another one.
Why don't we try to free? Like, I remember Luann was doing that with like her boyfriend. You know, I'm going to try to have a baby with, what's with the French guy?
Oh,
and then remember
gosh,
when Ramona was acting like she might be knocked up at 53? Like, just stop. Just stop with that storyline. Like, if it's, don't go there. Just call me. I will analyze your life and I will come up with a storyline and I will make something happen for you.
I mean,
you don't need to create such a dumb one that the audience is going to see through.
I also, though, before, like, pre these posts coming out with Jenny, I feel like the way she entered into season 2 of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, like, how do you stand out, right? At this point, you have one housewife who's being arrested with, like, every federal whatever, like, raining down on Salt Lake City. You have the other one who's running an alleged cult. Then you have these accusations coming out about Whitney's husband that came out for just a brief second. And then you have, I mean, like, how do you make yourself a prominent character in this ensemble cast and introduce yourself when you have all of this shit happening? It's like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills last season when Erica Girardi and the whole Girardi scandal came out. We didn't get to really learn anything about Crystal Kung Minkoff. None of the other women had storylines. It was
right.
Just what's happening with Erica.
And I think now that's what they're like, leaked all this stuff of what happened in Aspen. And I think there is going to finally be some good juice. But I heard early on in the filming that they weren't really talking about Erica anymore because what's there more to talk about? But now with the earring thing, and that all happened this weekend, return the $750,000 earrings. Oh, did you hear what happened on The Real?
I saw that.
So Lonnie Love, who I know very well, so I know this is 100% true. Story.
This is the scoop.
Lonnie Love is on The Real, and she and Garcelle is a host, and they're talking about it, which I love. I love that The Real is like, we're doing hot topics about your fucking cast, and we don't give a shit, and we don't care. And Garcelle's like, and I don't care if I get in trouble with Bravo. Love that. And so the news article is, you know, they want these $750,000 diamond earrings back. And Garcelle says, you know, why not just give it back, you know, or say, yes, absolutely. She's like, it is my understanding that I think that the lawyer is holding them. And, you know, and I get that. And my defense is, you don't just all of a sudden in the middle of lost things being like, hey, guys, come over to my house and pick out some clothes. And would you give it to the widow from the plane crash? Like, you can't just like do that.
Right.
So I understand like Erica's in her position of like being with lawyers. But then Lonnie goes, yeah, but then remember, says to the other host, remember when we were at Garcelle's birthday, which must be a party that's been filmed this year that we haven't seen. And Erica came and tried to talk to us. And Erica goes, you know, the people that really support me don't have this skin color.
She did not say that.
She did. According to Lonnie Love. And what was the other girl?
She said it to Lonnie Love.
Who was the cheetah girl?
Adrian Bailon?
Yes. She said it to Adrian. And
what?
I'm like, that is That is up there with Hillary Clinton saying that she carries hot sauce in her purse.
Oh my gosh. It's oh my Goryina. Like, what do you say to that?
I mean, Lonnie knows. Lonnie knows what that is. Lonnie knows that that is someone like, that's someone who's honestly not smart.
Why, what in your head would make you think that would be a good idea to say some outlandish shit like that?
Thinking, because you're not that smart and you're thinking, I'm going to go up to these women because the women that come up to me and go, I got you, girl, are black women. So I'm going to let these black women know that, like, hey, I don't, that is what she's thinking. And she's not thinking that, what that really means. It's like, that is not something.
So you're trying to, hold on, let me break this down really quick. Yes. You're trying to break this, you're trying to say that, like, I get you because a lot of people don't understand that I'm being investigated and maybe the IRS is going to rain down on my life and my husband has a ton of victims, allegedly, for embezzlement and fraud and all of this other stuff, but you get it?
You get it because other women of color support me, so I want you to know the people that support me are women of color, and you're a woman of color, and I'm telling you this.
She didn't throw a left hook right on the spot? Like, what? How do you... What?
I think Lonnie Love has been on this earth a while, and she's a very intelligent woman, and I think she has been around a lot of white people that have said things that they think are pro people of color. That is not. That is completely revealing your real thought. So you can show up as the most liberal person on the earth. You can give Gavin Newsom all this money. You can, you know, they were super Democrat. You can be at a party for a fundraiser. And you think because of that, like, oh, we're girl, like, it was
we're
so
good. We're
when
good.
She said it, I think people had a hard time kind of going, wait, what is Lonnie trying to say? But I got it. And I think a lot of people understand now as I explain it why it's like, shut the fuck up. Like, what the fuck are you saying?
I mean, that's
because
a really
some fans
statement.
Walk up to you, you really, and then you're going to lead with that? And you're going to lead with that as you're talking to a woman of color who's a host of a show, who's an established stand-up, who's an author. Who, that's how you think you're going to get Lonnie Love to, like, be your friend?
And to be fair, let me just, I don't know if Erica doesn't realize this. And I know that she, I know she watches you, but I don't know if she doesn't get this, but most people don't fucking understand where you're coming from or anything going on in your life, because most people don't have $40,000 to $50,000 a month in glam and who are married to a man who was allegedly doing all of this shit, but then you were flying under the radar because you wanted to file for divorce on, you know, the election day, but then he fell off a mountain in snowy Pasadena, and then all of a sudden the house was burglarized, he has Alzheimer's, dementia, and you didn't know shit.
I've been through a lot. Tom's house was broken in last night, and he confronted the robbers, and then there was a snowstorm, and my son went to go see how he was doing, and then his car flipped 5 times. And, yeah, I've been through a lot. Been through a lot. And then the other rumor is that, well, like, this is all people, like, heard hearing stuff at restaurants in Aspen, and that Dorit and Erica left in a huff. And that Lisa Rinna was saying that Erica is on 2 antidepressants and drinking too much. So she was kind of doing her intervention storyline. Like
with
she
the
did.
Pill bag.
Yeah, like she did. Like she did for, with Kim Richards, remember?
Right. When she said she's near death.
And then she got pissed. And then Erica was so pissed that then Erica revealed to the table. And you know what, Dorit? People don't believe that your robbery is real. So we're having another thing where people are – because people was questioning that robbery.
Well, especially after the casino debt was paid.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if you had a casino debt and you got robbed and you got your insurance money for the stuff, you still should use that money to pay off that debt.
Right.
So it's like, yes, did we pay off the debt from the insurance money? Yes, we did. We didn't take that insurance money and rebuy all my jewels.
Right.
But that still doesn't mean that the robbery didn't happen.
Well, to be fair, too,
or that the robbery wasn't orchestrated, that it was a full-blown real robbery.
There was a point, though, that it was, I mean, obviously the robbery was orchestrated on behalf of the robbers and whoever.
Yes, the robbers planned to go there, yes.
Right, but for this situation, I could, you know, somebody have owed somebody money or something and somebody higher up could have sent them in and been like, okay, well, we're going to take them to the bank. Who knows? But I never personally thought that this woman as a mom, because I'm a mom of two naked little cats and, you know, my dogs, and I'm good. And I feel like there's no way in hell she's going to put her kids in the position to witness three men coming in. Like, that would terrify you. That would traumatize her kids for the rest of life.
Listen, I have said I think I'm on the right side of history.
Oh, God.
And my side is I absolutely do not think Dorit had anything to do.
I don't either.
And I absolutely believe whether these men were sent or whatever, or they are random robbers that watch the show and know where she lives and wanted to, you know. Listen, people are getting killed and shot and everything every day in this city. It's up like 50, 100, and I don't even know how much percent it is. So I believe Dorit's story.
Right.
If there's something else more behind it, but I'm saying I don't think Dorit was I'm going to act like I'm asleep and then the robbers are going to come. No, I don't believe that. Now, if in a couple years I'm wrong, okay, but I'm telling you right now at this moment, if I was with the housewives, that is what I'd be saying.
Right.
I believe her for that exact reason. You would never plan it for when your children are in the home. Never, ever would you, even if they, oh, but these people really aren't robbing you and they really don't have real weapons, whatever the plan someone thinks is, you would never, ever, you'd be like, fucking rob us when we're gone.
Right.
We're going away to San Diego.
That's what happened to Kyle Richards.
Yeah. Rob me when I'm gone. Follow my Instagram and follow me and rob me when I'm gone and take whatever the fuck you want and leave us alone. I mean, you would not do it for drama, for a storyline. She's very secure on the show. She does not need this kind of, and then you're going to act traumatized and shaking and everything. She's not no, don't believe it.
No.
But obviously, there might be some conversation. And it might be so much as, oh my God, there's somebody, just the way Lisa Rinna did it with the Munchausens. Munchausens. When someone pretends to be sick when they're not. Like, it could just be like a little thing like, somebody sent this to me and they don't believe that Dorit's thing is real. Now, I don't think that. I'm just saying this person thinks it. And then the conversation starts and then we've got a show.
Right. It's what Shannon Bedore just did on Orange County with the Nicole James lawsuit.
Yes, we've got a show.
Yes. It's planting the seed. But
yeah.
And it's almost like some of my favorite housewives, they're so good at this. You know, we had LVP. We have Lisa Rinna. We had where it's just like, and Giselle on Potomac, where, you know, you have the rock and you hand it over to this person who's gullible enough to throw it. And you're like, I didn't do anything.
I mean, what's great is you have these articles written. So just like the show The Real can talk about an article that's involving Garcelle's. You have an article and you can say, oh my God, my girlfriend just sent me this article about people thinking that Dorit's thing is not real. Like, this is horrible. What are we going to do about this? Well, this is real life. And if it was real life, you would go to lunch and you'd say it. But now are you a horrible bitch because you said it while the cameras were on you?
Right.
But then the producers are like, we don't have a fucking show. Half of you guys are sick with COVID. Do you want to be on Peacock? Do you want to be on Peacock, Lisa Rinna? No, I fucking don't. Give me the Reality Blurb article. I'm walking in and I'm going to tell it at this restaurant.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, they get really well. I mean, honestly, at this point, they know what they're doing. They're very well versed in the housewives world. If anybody's kind of oblivious to what's going on and just like the silly shit that's happening, I think it would probably be, and I'm not calling her oblivious. I think she's a very intelligent woman. But Kathy Hilton, like when she went on Instagram and she like commented under Rick's thing.
I talked about that on the show today.
Oh, did you?
Where she's like, fucking idiot that believes that she doesn't know exactly what she's doing. She was an actress. She's, you know, Paris Hilton's mom.
They know how to do press.
It's a bit. It's a bit.
Play the game.
We like it.
Yeah. I'm here for it.
I just sometimes get mad when the audience is too dumb to see it.
Yeah.
But it's okay. Not everyone's as smart as us. Adam,
take it.
I mean, really, exceeding my expectations in every way. Glowy skin.
Oh, no.
Nice. cute fiance, 15 minutes early.
Yeah.
Nice outfit.
Hey, thanks. Thanks. I like it. No, honestly, I'm so happy to, like, the fact that this was a year and a half after I originally contacted you and started my channel, and you were always on the radar for me, and I just, like, I manifested you, by the way, in this. Like,
you worked the secret. Dreams come true.
I was like, I am going to, and then when we talked and you're like, well, you know, we can do a Zoom and we'll send you, you know, that special set of headphones. I was like, no, I'm going to be in LA anyways. I have to be in the Juicy Scoop office studio. We're going to make this shit happen. This is
going
to be a year.
Well, I just didn't. I couldn't handle the Catholic guilt if you were only flying out to see me.
No.
When you said you were coming out for other stuff, then I was like, oh, yeah, then I definitely want to do it in studio.
Yeah.
That was the only thing. Like, sometimes people offer to do that a lot. And I have to start telling myself, I am worth it.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I am worth it and to come in studio. But I still just sometimes, like, as a mom, like, I'm still like, you know, feel bad when someone has to pick me up from the airport. So, like, I just don't want to inconvenience anyone. But I believe you, I really always prefer in studio. Well, always, always.
I mean, you know, I came in town because you were on Zach's show yesterday.
Yeah.
And we're planning this, like, just this kind of three-city, like, little mini
Love
tour.
It.
And
yeah.
We're doing it in L.A. April 7th. And maybe we can steal you back. I don't know. Maybe you can
just show up
and say...
Let me know.
I don't know. I just... Regardless, thank you again so much for even having me here.
Oh my gosh,
this was so much fun.
You're awesome. Everybody, it's Up and Adam. We'll tag and all that stuff. And you'll have to get more people to follow me on this because you have more YouTube followers.
We just hit 100K.
I know. Can you get me to 100K?
Yes.
Because I beg these people. And listen, the people that watch every week are so loyal. But I have to get more people.
Well, I'm always like people... say that I'm like shoving it down their throat, like I ram it down their throat because I kick off my video and I end off my video with, hey guys, don't forget to smash that like button. If you're not subscribed, get fucking subscribed and don't forget to hit that notification
bell.
Okay,
so now why don't you just tell the camera,
yeah.
Tell the camera right here about to do it to Juicy Scoop.
Guys, if you're not following Heather McDonald on YouTube, you have to go follow her. And if you're not subscribed, get subscribed. It really helps the algorithm. Don't forget to smash that like button and hit that notification bell because, well, you don't want to miss anything Heather has coming up next.
Awesome. Love you.